I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Thanks, Jack. I hope I'm young enough to be able to still have control over this in my mind. But I think all of us are getting older, and this. And what's more important is that we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And now, aren't we excited? You know, this. I know it's troubling to see the events of this world unfolding. It's very difficult. But the Lord told us, all these are but the beginning of sorrows. And after that, rapture, you know? And what I'd like to do today is to share some thoughts about the millennial reign of Christ. This is something which is not talked about very often, but, you know, it's talked about so much in Scripture. You can go to Zechariah chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know, it develops for you the entire account of things to come with a focus on the Jews. And you can read in Isaiah, this is like 65 and other places, promises concerning the new kingdom. And yet, when we talk about the millennial reign of Christ, sometimes we think millennium is so far away. So anyway, I'd like to spend some time to share with all of us here some thoughts that I have. And before we do that, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Yeah, let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful privilege that we have to come this morning to remember Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, what a great privilege to be called upon, invited to approach Thee in the holiest place, to pour out our hearts in of worship and adoration and thanksgiving to Thy Son. We thank Thee also for the word which was given by our brother George earlier concerning Thy love for us. Yes, indeed, we are twice broken, inside and out, twice unclean, inside and out. And yet, our Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that He will redeem us, and not just redeem us, but guide us in the way that is perfect and pure, that we may indeed be used as a vessel of honor and glory. The Lord Himself wrote on the S and the code, even as He entered and proclaimed as King. We thank Thee for this time that Thou hast given us, even as we consider Thy word concerning the millennial reign of Christ. May Thou teach us and help us to learn from Thee. We commit this time into Thy hands, asking all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Millennial reign of Christ. Many of us, sometimes we have this idea that the millennium is so far away. Do you know how far millennium is from today? Maybe 7+ years. 7+ years, not that far, no? And yet, we often treat millennium like it's so far away that we probably have to wait a long, 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 long time before we experience millennium. No, it's so close. Rapture is so close. And there may be 7 years of tribulation, and then we have millennium, right? So, this is, I thought I moved this, it would move, but it doesn't move. I have to manually do it. This is a chart by a brother, Clarence Larkin. He is no longer with us, he's with the Lord. very busy child. Lots and lots of wonderful things. I won't be able to touch on many of these things. Now, if you want to learn about millennium, Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 is a wonderful section of the scripture talking about the millennial temple, the division of the land, and all that wonderful things. Many of these things you see on this chart are from Ezekiel. And then you talk about the millennial temple and all that kind of things. I would touch a little bit, but because of time, we don't have time to kind of really go into detail. I forgot. But as listen, Brother Glenn likes to do this, right? I like to borrow a few of his tricks to talk about interpretation and explanation of Scripture. Now, we have to understand Scripture properly. And some people call it hermeneutics, but no, it's too big a word for me. And listen, I prefer we avoid some of these words if we can, or at least explain in plain, simple terms, so that we use exegesis and all those kind of things. It is sometimes difficult for simple people to understand, like me. I prefer to use explanation, interpretation of Bible. And we know that all Scripture, everything in the Bible is inspired by the Word of God, by God, inspired by God. And listen, and no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? It means that you cannot interpret Scripture by taking one verse here and then create a whole theology of it. You cannot do that. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and Scripture explains itself. And the Lord himself said, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, what does this mean? This means that everything matters. Every single thing that the Lord writes here matters. Meaning that details matters. Everything is precise. God is not giving you some arbitrary thing. When God said 1,260 days, he meant 1,260 days. So it's important for us not to if there's one way to take it, and this is someone wrote this, which I like. And this is Dr. David Cooper. I don't really know who he is, but I like his quote. He said, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Therefore, take every word at its primary, ordinary, usual, literal meaning, unless the facts of the immediate context studied in the light of the Scripture, or in light of the related passages and axiomatic and fundamental truths, indicate clearly otherwise. An allegory is an allegory. One is that is literal is literal. So when the Lord talks about many of these things, listen, when God said God created, God created. And when God said this in 6 days, God created heavens and the earth, it means 6 days. Unless there's reason to allegorize based on the context. But in all things, don't just trust anyone who says anything, including anyone. Whatever I say, don't trust it. Trust and verify. Just be like the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. This is Paul. And they are talking about Paul here, preaching to them. Even Paul, they would not just accept all the words of Paul as it is. What did they do? They searched the scriptures. to see if whether these things were so. So it's incumbent for us to search the scripture and let God speak. Now don't make poetry an allegory of everything. If you make poetry an allegory of everything, you cannot understand this book. There's no way. Because it's your allegory versus my allegory, versus his allegory. Your day is not a day. A day is not a day. Good is not good. And creator is not creator. Adam is not Adam. Eve is not Eve. Evil is not evil. How can we understand this book? No way. And God didn't mean for it to be understood that way. So why do I bring this up? Because when we talk about millennium, we talk about 1,000 years. So there are a lot of people who say, nah, it's not 1,000 years. We'll come to that. But this, before that, I just want to give a quick overview just in case I run out of time. At least, you know, you hear something about millennium. Now, the unconditional covenants in the scripture just demands a literal physical return of Christ to establish a kingdom. I took this from godquestions.org. Not the best place to search for answers necessarily, but you know, I just happen to like what they write down, so I'm sharing with you, okay? This is what they wrote about millennium, which is quite good. Quite good. The Bible tells us that when Christ returned to the earth, he will establish himself as king. And we all know that. Most of us. And we all know that Christ will come as king, sitting on the throne of David. It's been prophesied to us, you know, like in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob 1,000 years? No, forever. Forever. So why is this 1,000 years? We'll talk about it. Okay? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be an end at the end of 1,000 years? No. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, so understand there is a difference between the millennial reign of Christ on earth and the eternal reign of Christ. Christ's reign is eternal. I'll explain a little bit later on as we can get further down. And this is an Abrahamic covenant, promised Israel a land, a posterity and ruler and spiritual blessing. Davidic covenant also just promised Israel a king from David's line who will rule forever and give the nation rest from all the enemies. At the second coming, this covenant will be fulfilled. Israel is going to be regathered from the nations and converted. You can read Zechariah. He says wanted. Okay, some people say, well, no, maybe not wanted. Okay, just read Zechariah. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Okay, Zechariah, as I mentioned, chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It's very good for us to comprehend these things. And they'll be restored to the land. And the Bible also talks about the conditions of earth during that time. Yeah. And this is kind of unusual, both physically and spiritually. I'll touch on that. It'll be a time of peace. It'll be a time of joy, a time of comfort. The Bible also tells us that only believers enter into the millennium. No unbelievers will enter into millennium. It's 7 years from now, just a reminder, not that far away. But if you do not believe and are not a believer, listen, the believers of the church will be caught up at first, and then 7 years of tribulation. We'll touch on that. And there'll be a time of obedience, and there'll be holiness, and truth, and knowledge of God, and Christ will rule as king. Nobles and governors will also rule, and then Jerusalem will be political center of the world. Don't worry about taking notes, I'll send this to all of you at the end. Yeah. And then in Revelation chapter 20, 2 to 7, it gives us a precise time period of the millennium. It mentioned 1,000 years, actually six times. Six times, every verse you get it once. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Six times it mentioned 1,000 years. Some people still deny that this 1,000 years is really more God estimate 1,000 years. But my understanding from Scripture and knowing how God deals with many of these things is that we often find that God is very literal, very precise, down to the day. If you study the prophecy of Daniel 70 weeks, and you really, really kind of get into all the details, you'll be amazed by the precision. And then you look at Daniel chapter 11, the account of history, it's so precise that people think that it's fake. And they say it's fake because it describes exactly what will happen. And they say that it's written after the fact. Well, God doesn't need us to basically accommodate this kind of thoughts, just so that we can basically understand that what he says is precise, accurate, and literal, and detailed. Yeah? This is a simple chart. Hopefully it's not too busy. I took from one of the charts and added some things, just so that it's clear. We are at the doorstep of rapture. How many of us believe in rapture? Okay, thank you. Yeah. How many of us don't believe in rapture? Oh, there's no hands. Okay, that's good. We all believe in rapture. And how many of us believe the rapture is for just the church? Just the church, yeah? Yeah, in fact, we all know that. And this just the church will be raptured. After rapture, there'll be 7 years of tribulation. So rapture, Christ come for us. At the end of 7 years, Christ will come with us. You know? And this to establish his kingdom reign on earth for 1,000 years. I put down there the resurrection, the first resurrection, part one, part two. First resurrection, part one is when we are resurrected, the church, resurrected to meet Christ in the air. Then we come with the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of tribulation, and then there'll be resurrection, part two, first resurrection, part two. For the Old Testament saints and tribulation saints and all the others to enter into millennium with Christ. So first resurrection, we all know in Luke chapter 14, is resurrection of the just. In Daniel chapter 12, this in verse 2, we also read about first resurrection unto life. So, I will not go into detail for this one because there is a lot of things that we would like to cover. But what is interesting is all these are resurrected saints, right? So they are believers. But at the end of tribulation, just before tribulation, there'll be a judgment. Before millennium, there'll be a judgment. And this, all those who are believers will enter into the millennium. So believers who are alive at the end of millennium will enter into millennium. So we can talk about the Jews in Isaiah 51, Zechariah chapter 9. We have the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 25. So between the first resurrection and second resurrection is a period of 1,000 years. I'll explain this, and then after that there will be a second resurrection that is unto death and everlasting contempt. So allow me to read a passage in the text for us today. Matthew 25. I covered this so that we have some context when we read the passage, we can compare with the passage. Okay? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, Maybe read 24 verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, there's the 7 years of tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Turn with me also to Revelation chapter 19. I will read from verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I think we know who that is, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which he shall smite the nations, and he shall... You know, I scribble all over my Bible, I cannot even see the word. Rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls of the air, the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the great supper of the great God. Now here, the Lord Jesus Christ come now Armageddon, that they may eat of the flesh of the kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of men, both free and enslaved, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped him, his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So we just basically read about coming of the Lord, Armageddon, and the final judgment on all the nations. And then in chapter 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. One angel, yeah, an angel. And this angel, he laid hold of on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Very clear, 1,000 years. So one angel catch hold of Satan, bound him in a chain, cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and should set a seal upon him that he should not, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a later season. Again, 1,000 years. Okay? The second mention, 1,000 years. Now, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon him, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay. Third time is mentioned now. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So another mention of 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. First resurrection is unto life. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go to deceive nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. See, at the end of millennium, the 1,000 years, Satan will be released and go around deceiving people at the different corners of the earth. And there will be so many that is described, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So many, even in millennium, will not believe God. And they went up, that Satan and all these people went up on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that is Jerusalem. Yeah. And what happened? Well, there's no war, unfortunately. Unfortunately, whatever you want to call it. Because God, what happened? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. No fighting. All God did was send fire, and all these people were consumed. And the devil that deceived them was at the end of millennium, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and false prophet were cast before the millennium. Satan was cast after the millennium. 1,000 years, and the beast and false prophet still there. So suffering in the lake of fire is eternal. Okay? They didn't vanish. Some people say they are annihilated. No, there's no such a thing. Tormented forever and ever. They say, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon the throne, on whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, I think mark these words, you know? This is important. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are very solemn words. We never want anyone to go to the lake of fire. But those who did not partake of the first resurrection, the second resurrection is unto death and everlasting contempt. So just a reminder, timeline again. Simple timeline, Great White Throne Judgment, that is what we just read, Great White Throne Judgment. So, just to recap, millennium, the 1,000 years, is mentioned 6 times in Revelation 20. It's not mentioned elsewhere, just because some people wonder whether the word millennium is anywhere found in the Bible. It's not directly. No. A millennium is 1,000 years, but it's mentioned 6 times in Revelation chapter 20. And it will happen right after rapture, before tribulation. Seems rapture is before tribulation. It has got to be. And then millennium will follow after tribulation. It'll be for 1,000 years. Okay? One thing that we need to know is that 1,000 years is not eternity. 1,000 years is 1,000 years. It's not eternity. It has to come to an end. When does it come to an end? At the end of 1,000 years, God destroyed the heaven and the earth. How do we know that? You turn to Revelation 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. First heaven, not the current heaven, the current earth. There's only one heaven, one earth that was created before this destruction. So some people think that maybe there is a gap theory between Genesis 1 and 2. There are many other reasons, but one of them is this, you know, that this is talking about the first heaven and the first earth. What is the purpose of millennium? It is part of God's plan to show that even in the best of situations, man needs to be saved. there are so many sinners still to be found during millennium when Christ reigns on earth. There'll be so many people who depart from Christ and this, even under the best of circumstances. And even when Satan is not around, we will still find sinners on earth. So don't blame Satan. Satan did not make you sin. Did not make me sin. I sin because by nature I'm born a sinner. And by the grace of God, He saved me and He saved you. Who will be there in millennium? Now, millennium is a very strange place. Let me explain. We will be there, right? But we will be there in our glorified bodies. We will be changed before rapture. And we will be there in our glorified bodies. The tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints will be there in their glorified body. 1 Corinthians this chapter 15 teaches us that. And this will, they'll all be resurrected with a glorified body. Then there'll be those who enter millennium at the end of tribulation when they were alive. They survived the tribulation. They enter into this millennium alive. Romans 11, Zechariah chapter 9, you can read all these other verses. Listen. And then the Gentile nations, Matthew 25. And there are only the believers who enter millennium. But during millennium is 1,000 years, there'll be many babies born. But the babies are born during millennium will still need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as we all do, by grace, through faith. Salvation is always the same. Now, millennium is to show us that even in the best of circumstances, man needs salvation. What will be there in millennium? There will be a millennial temple. We read of that in Ezekiel chapter 40, 43. And there's this thing called the New City of Jerusalem. Very interesting. If you read Revelation 21, verses 9 to 22, verse 5, I believe that is a description of millennium. Because it talks about nations, it talks about nations needing healing, it talks about the unsaved can enter the city. No, it doesn't seem to tie well with this eternity. So this is a picture of the Ezekiel Millennial Temple. It's big. It's really quite huge. Yeah. Just for comparison, Solomon's Temple is there. Can you see Solomon's Temple? Herod's Temple is on top of Solomon's Temple. That one, that's a relative size. The tabernacle is on the right. The American football field is this. Okay. Now, Ezekiel's temple is big. What about New City of Jerusalem? New City of Jerusalem is huge. It's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Yeah, I don't know how to describe this, but it will basically cover this area, this 1,500 miles big city. Now, conditions on earth is quite unusual, right? I mean, this we can read Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 10, Isaiah chapter 65. Now we have wolf, they dwell with the lambs, the leopard with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and this and the fatling together, and the child shall lead them, and this and the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones lie together, the lions will eat straws like an ox, a nursing child will play in the hole of the snake, or the poisonous snake, a weaned child will put his hand in the adder's den, and so on and so forth. It is different. And we all, those who live then, will have very long lives. Because if they die 100 years, they die like a child. Well, we don't consider someone who's 100 years old as a child. But in those days, it will be. So, geography, climate, vegetation, animals, and longevity of man, it's just something that we will see. And this, as we mentioned, this it'll be Christ reigning on earth. But there will still be sinners who need, and the nations will still need healing, and there will still be death. So this is not eternity. As we mentioned, there will still be sin on earth during millennium, and salvation is still by grace through faith. So despite all this, millennium is a time for God to really show us that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. A quick thing, mentioned this several times, 1,000 years is not forever. And God will deal with sin in the same way as he deals with sin today. And all those who are sinners will be judged, and those who are not saved will stand before the great white throne, and they will not find that it's any different in terms of judgment. Those who are not believers, their names are not written in the book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire. So, millennial reign of Christ is not the same as eternal reign of Christ. Eternal reign of Christ, Christ will reign forever. But then, what happens after the 1,000 years? Well, the earth and heaven will be destroyed. And then, God will create new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21, verse 1. And Christ will continue his reign forever. I always wonder, what happens to all the people on earth during millennium. How are they going to escape the wrath, and this is the thing that God would send to destroy the heaven and the earth. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. This gives a description of the destruction of the heaven and the earth. Chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. See, God promised there will be no more flood. But the next judgment will be by fire. First judgment by water. next judgment by fire. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, in which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which dwelleth righteousness. So God's going to destroy the current earth and the current heavens, whole universe, and create new heaven and new earth. I believe, perhaps, the new city of Jerusalem will come down during the millennium and is a sort of Noah's Ark. Thinking it. You may not agree, that's fine. No, just me thinking it. Because in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8 describe eternity, whereas 21:9 to 22:5 really describe for us millennium and the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven and this and will be on earth. So knowing all this, what then is our response? You know, God, in our morning worship, we meditated on his great salvation and his great mercy and his great love and his wonderful grace. Indeed, what a wonderful Savior we have in Christ. For him to even consider leaving marks so that in case we are still doubtful like Thomas, we can recognize him. Is too much to even try to understand what Christ is doing. May we indeed sing with great joy the song of the 24 elders, the picture of the church, and the four living creatures to give honor and glory to God. When the four living creatures give honor and glory to God, the church fell down and worshiped. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped and sing. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for teaching us concerning thy plan for us in the coming days. There's so much we desire to learn from thee, so much that thou hast to teach us. May we indeed open our hearts to receive thy word. May we indeed learn to know thee from thy word. And having known thee, realize what a wonderful God thou art. And what a wonderful Savior we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for this time once again. We commit the rest of the day into thy hands, asking all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.